appropriate for 2022, for we're looking for a man of God to be the shepherd, the under shepherd of this local assembly. I'm just here for a season. A Tale of Four Preachers. A Tale of Four Preachers. I think I started studying this one back in November of 2021. As I thought about the task of going out to find someone to be the pastor of this church. And there's some rascals out there. We don't want a rascal, we want a good one. So let us pray. Father, we thank you and we love you for taking care of us, for saving us, for keeping us, encouraging us. Lord, we've seen the dawn of a new year in 2022, and we trust that you will give us grace and mercy this year as well. We look to your word this morning. We ask that you would touch the preacher, lift him up in such a way that he will preach your word, and that the ears of the people would be attentive to what you have to say to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A Tale of Four Preachers. A Tale of Four Preachers. Now, I remember after a church that I was at, I was teaching the adult class, mostly seniors, and he let me go on the first day he arrived. He said that he was going to teach the class, and that was fine with me. I had no problem with the pastor teaching the class. The only issue I had was I didn't know if he was saved or not. The way he came to the church was through a revival, and he preached a message that just lit them up. It just lit them up, and they were Now, they had not had a pastor in approximately a year and a half, almost 2 years. The pastor that they had in those country churches would come on the second and the fourth Sundays. The first and the third, as those who come from country churches know, it was just Sunday school, okay? And that's the way it was. And so he didn't come to church except those two Sundays. There was no midweek teaching from the pastor. It was just that way in the country. And when he came and he preached that message that lit them up, a little dab of do you. I kept trying to figure out as I listened to the message, what is the dab that you're talking about? And then when he said, the doors of the church is open, I looked and the church doors were closed. I was waiting for him to give an invitation. I don't know what he was talking about. Turns out, he wasn't exactly what was advertised. He and his wife came, first action, fire that guy right there because he doesn't believe what I believe. See, I believe that it is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross that in believing that, that's where our salvation stands. I'm uncompromising on that point. Now, I know that people join the church through baptism, and they join the church through Christian experience. But when they join the local church through baptism, they are attaching themselves to the local church. But that baptism is universal in every church that they attend. Amen. They don't have to get baptized in every church that they attend. They are simply identifying that I identify with Christ, like a wedding ring. God has given us the ability to identify with him through the baptism. But the baptism does not save a person. Well, that's not what he believed. And I shared with the leaders as I was closing shop, said, you need to be careful. There was a whole lot of preachers y'all bypassed and said they didn't teach right. These are people who believe what I believe, but they wanted this guy. Well, today we have a tale of four preachers. Did you know that the time of the judges was about close to 450 years or so? That's a long time. That's longer than the United States has been the United States. That's a long time, 450 years. But towards the end of the time of judges, God was silent. There was no major profiting going on. Israel had not heard from God in decades. You remember the time of the judges where every man that would did that which was right in their own mind, in their own eyes. There was no king in Israel at that time, the Bible tells us in the book of Judges. The priests, they were corrupt. The people worship God and other gods. The surrounding countries, they continue to harass and jeopardize the land of Israel. Even Eli, who at that time was the high priest and the judge of Israel, he wasn't even doing right. He had problems of his own. He was not a very good father, if you will. He doted on his children. He put them before the Lord. But today, we're going to find out that Israel needed more than just a judge. Israel needed a word from God. They needed a prophet, someone who would deliver God's vision and God's word. They needed a man of God. But who would God choose? Let's find out in this tale of four preachers. Our message is entitled Tale of Four Preachers. The first point, an unusual group of preachers. An unusual group of preachers. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Our second point, an undisciplined and unfit priesthood. An undisciplined and unfit priesthood. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. Then point number three, an uncompromising and upset, and I would insert highly upset, God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 through 36. And 1 Samuel 3, 11 through 14. And then finally, in our fourth point, and upended people. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Now, we're not going to go through every verse. I just wanted to give you at least where we're coming from today, okay? So we go to our first point. An unusual group of preachers. Now, we all are pretty much familiar with how Samuel came to be. His mother, Hannah, she didn't have any children. In fact, she was not able to bear children. And we find her at the house of God, where Eli, who was then the judge and the high priest, thought she was drunk. He thought she was inebriated by the way she was wailing, for she had no children, and she was being harassed at home by her husband's other wife, who had plenty of children, and was treating her unkindly. And we know that God heard her prayer, and she said that, "I will give you my son." The word she used was lend to the Lord. That means he's got Samuel for the rest of his life in service to God. And we know that Samuel was born and that she was blessed, and the other wife stopped having children. But she brought Samuel after she weaned him to the house of God under the care of this man, this high priest, this judge, Eli. And he was a good guy. This Samuel, the Bible tells us that he grew up in the presence of the Lord. When we say the presence of the Lord, that means he was face to face with God, and he would eventually become the new judge and a prophet for God. And he would share with the people the truth of God's word, God's vision, and he would intercede for them. Then there again is Eli. Now he was mostly blind, he could barely see. And the Bible tells us that he was a heavy fellow. He carried a lot of weight around him. I want you to remember that. He carried a lot of weight around him. Several times it refers to him as being heavy. There's a reason why. Because priests weren't supposed to be heavy. No, no. Now, I know we in the black church, we see a lot of brothers, including the one before you, sometimes we got a little bit, all right? But the priest, their diet was of lean nature. They didn't eat fatty foods, so they were typically thin. And then we had his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These were two rascals. This was an unusual group of preachers. Let us look at verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, the sons of Eli were what? Corrupt. I don't wonder why they were corrupt. Remember now, these two are of the lineage of the Levites, who God established separately from all the other tribes to take care of the house of God and to do, as we saw Aaron do, to intercede with the people, to be an intermediate between God and man. But look what it says in verse 12 about these two sons. They did not what? They weren't saved. How in the world can two unsaved preachers be in charge of the house of God, be in charge of being the intermediary between God and man? How in the world can two unsaved preachers carry on the sacraments of the Lord that God prescribed in his word? Let's look at the next verse. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, now we know that the sacrifices that we're talking about here originated back in Genesis chapter 3. You recall how God slayed an animal so that he could give Adam and Eve coats of skin as a covering, knowing that points to Jesus Christ, who was the final sacrifice, the real true sacrifice to cover man's sin and to give them God's righteousness through his son. Well, this sacrifice, the priest servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling, because that's what God prescribed. They were to boil the meat. But because he takes care of the priest, because God takes care of his folks who are serving him, he said, first, you take a flesh hook and you get you some meat. Next verse. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for, what's that word?
Himself.
All that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh, which is where the house of God was, to all the Israelites who came there. That was how it's supposed to be done. But would you look what these two rascals did? Verse 15, also before they burned, what's that word? Say it again. I can't hear you. Before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest. Now, is that what we read previously? Weren't they supposed to get the meat when it was boiling? These guys want T-bone steak. Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. In other words, we need the good stuff. Verse 16. And if the man said to him, now these are people who are coming to make a sacrifice to God. In earnest, they're coming to the house of God. In earnest, they want to make a sacrifice to the Lord. But if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first. In other words, the people, well, that's not what God said in his word. I know a little Bible. That's not what. Then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Now, I suspect he didn't have any skinny servants. He probably had some big dudes serving the priest at that time. Look, I'm going to take it, whether you like it or not. How many times have we seen on TV people who are greedy for filthy lucre? They want the money. That's what they want. You're a new member. How much money you make? I need to note it down so I can make sure you give you a 15%. I thought it was 10. Oh, it's 15 here. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men, they abhorred the offering of the Lord. These two guys, in their sin, the Bible is telling us that they abhorred, these men abhorred the offering of the Lord. That's like spitting on Jesus, as far as I'm concerned. For Jesus is the final sacrifice, and they treated it with disdain. I want you to go to our second point. An undisciplined priesthood. An undisciplined priesthood in 2 Samuel 22 through 26. An undisciplined priesthood. Verse 22 says, now Eli, he was very old. He was very old. And he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. In other words, the actions of these boys was widespread because people came to the house of the Lord from all around. And this is what they received from these boys in the previous passage. And how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, Samuel was lent to the Lord, the words of Hannah. So he became someone who was a servant at the house of God. Other people, including women, were also dedicated, like Samuel was, to serve in the house of God. So these young ladies, and sometimes older ladies, you might remember Anna. She was one of those people who served at the house of God. Remember, Anna was the one who was able to see the child, baby Jesus, and was praising God. She had been married, I think around the age of 18, she lost her husband or so, and she's gotten old, but she was still serving at the house of God. Well, these women were women who were dedicated in service to the house of God. And look what these two rascals did. Not only did they disdain God's sacrifice, but they lay with them. So verse 23 says, so he said to them, why do you do such things? Now I'm asked the question, he can't answer me. Didn't you know your sons weren't saved? You knew they weren't saved. Why in the world did you let them do it in the first place? Eli, I know you're blind now. I know you're hard of hearing, evidently, because you didn't hear what God said in his word. But for I hear of the evil. He knows that his sons are doing evil. I'd yank them boys out of there. You can stay in my house, but you ain't staying in that house. You don't know him. You can't serve him. Oh, but that's all right. It's okay for unsaved preachers to become pastors of churches, ain't it? It's okay for unsaved preachers who don't know God's word to be pastors of churches, ain't it? Do we want one like that here? What? You don't want one like that here? I understand we have some people in a pulpit committee who are putting out resumes and establishing standards. Now, I'm sure that y'all put in y'all standards that you want some unsaved folk to come here. Is that right? Oh, that's not right. Y'all say no? Praise the Lord. Verse 24. No, my sons. Now, I would have thought he'd have yanked them. But look what it says. For it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. They're making the people sin because they don't do the people aren't doing the sacrifice the right way. He's causing people to transgress. 25. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, Who will intercede for him? Aren't they supposed to be interceding for the people? But they are sure enough guilty themselves. They can't intercede. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord, I want you to say it out loud. What did the Lord do? He desired to kill them. God, you're mean. Hold up. Better watch out. God is holy, and he is just, and he has people serving in his house who are unsaved, unjust, despising the cross of Christ, despising his word, and despising God himself. They, like the other people in the book of Judges, they want to do what's right in their own mind. Because there's no king in Israel. We just do whatever we want to do. God said, not for long. Because God desired to kill them. Look at verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. You getting to see the contrast here? You got a father who is wishy-washy. He ain't supposed to be wishy-washy, but Eli was wishy-washy. His sons were evil and unsaved. Oh, but Samuel, he had favor with God and man. Which takes us to our next point, point number three, an uncompromising and upset God. Look at verse 27. Now, God is not willing that any should perish. He's a loving God. And he wants his people to do right. And because he's just, many times he'll give us a warning. You remember the saints and the stories of old that were written to give us a warning so we won't do the dumb things that they did, according to scriptures in Romans? Verse 27, then a man of God, that means this is an unnamed preacher, an unnamed prophet. He comes and knocks on the door. He came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord. Remember I said God hadn't done a lot of talking? Guess what? He ain't whispering now. Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, verse 28. Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? He's talking about the house of Levites. To offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Didn't I feed you before the sacrifice? Look at verse 28. Did I not choose him out of 29. I'm sorry. Why do you kick. Ooh. Mm. Why, Eli, do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? Whose house was it? It was the house of God. It was God's sacrifice, God's altar. Fire kicking. He's blaming Eli. They were my sons, God. I tried to get him to do right, but oh no. God's coming to the man of the house. And here's why. And honor your sons more than me. Honor your sons more than me. To make yourselves what? What's that word? Don't you forget that word. Now, what did I say about priests? You ever heard that, I guess they call it nursery rhyme? Jack Sprat could eat no fat, and his wife could eat no lean, and together they licked the plate clean. When the boys came to the house with that take-home food, and Eli, who was not skinny, can you hear him at the table? Boys, now even though he's blind and he's getting the meat, he can't see that well. He's not completely blind, but he's blind to the things of God. When he took his fork and stuck it in the meat and he opened up his mouth, can y'all tell the difference between boiled chicken and fried chicken? I'm just asking. If you close your eyes, can you tell the difference between boiled chicken and fried chicken? Can you tell the difference between boiled meat and T-bone steak? You can tell the difference. I wonder how he became so heavy. Did he know what they were doing? They didn't go to food line and buy no steak. God fed them. Remember I read that? From the people's offering. To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Verse 30. Therefore, when you hear therefore, you better watch out. Because there's a reason why there's a therefore. Huh? The Lord God of Israel says, didn't the man come to the house saying he had a word from the Lord? Mm-hmm. All right, so he's just not making this up. Amen. Look what he's saying. I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But, now sometimes when you see but, you want to say but God. Ain't no but God in this one. It says, but now the Lord says. In other words, this is what I said. Then I watch what you did. Now this is what I'm going to tell you. Far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who, what's that word? He's telling the preacher, you despise me. Oh, I know your sons did evil. You could have pulled the plug on them. But the reason you got a little weight on you is because you know what they were doing. And you didn't stop them. Oh, I know you said, no, boys don't do that. But you kept eating their food, didn't you? You kept despising me. I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm in the armor of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And he's about 98. Look at verse 32. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place. Unsaved folk will be in the dwelling place of God. Despite all the good which God does for Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. Verse 33, but if any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. The next verse. Now shall this be a sign to you. In other words, I'm going to give you a glimpse. I'm going to give you a foretaste of all these things that are going to happen in the house of God. Remember now, Babylon came, Nebuchadnezzar, and you took all those things out of God's house, took the gold, destroyed the temple. Remember that now, right? God saying, I'm just going to give you a foretaste of what's going to happen. What's the sign? That will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In that day, they shall die, both of them. What is the most prized thing in the house of God? It is the ark of the covenant, for that represents the presence of God himself. It contains in it the word of God. Let us look at 1 Samuel 3 and 11 through 14. Now, in verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. But we'll find that, as you remember the story of Samuel, he kept hearing something, and he would go to Samuel. He said, go back to sleep, boy. Let God talk to you. And when he comes back, let me know what he said. You remember that story, right? Guess what the first prophecy poor Samuel has to tell his living daddy, Eli. Guess what the first prophecy has to come out of his mouth? Look at verse 11 as he tells Eli what the deal is. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Remember I said God was silent? He ain't going to be silent for long, folks. He's already whispered to a preacher. Now he's got something else coming up. Look at the next verse. In that day I will perform against whom? Eli, the high priest, the judge at that time. All that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. In other words, Eli didn't listen to the other preacher. He still kept doing what he knew was wrong. Next verse. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. God has not given Eli any slack, for he's God's man. Because his sons made themselves vile, and look what the last statement says. Read it, saints. He what? He did not restrain them. When the preacher's bad, when the preacher won't uphold the word of God, when the preacher won't call sin, sin, but will compromise an uncompromising God, that makes God upset. Next verse. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity, not of Eli's sons, but of Eli's house, that means daddy and his two boys, shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. You're done. I'm pulling the plug on you. Which takes us to our third and fourth point. Now, in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 25, this is what it says. In Leviticus chapter 7, verse 25, anyone who eats the fat of an animal from which an offering by fire may be made to the Lord must be cut off from his people. When God said, I'm done with you, he was referring to this verse, which he gave back in Leviticus 7. Anyone who eats the fat of an animal from which an offering by fire may be made to the Lord must, not maybe, must be cut off from his people. This term, cut off, implies receiving a curse for breaking a covenant. To do this was to offend the covenant relationship that God made with his people. Why was God so upset? God made us to worship him. And when man sinned, part of that worship was to make the sacrifices that God had established in his covenant. The one that all Israel said, all you said, God, we will do before the mountain. God has a right to demand to be worshiped the way he said it. That's why God was so upset. So now we go to our fourth point. Our fourth point. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 4. The upended people. An upended people. Now we're not going to go through all these verses in chapter 4. I'm just going to pick a few. And the first one, folks, that I'm going to pick up, we'll get to that in a minute. But we'll start with verses 1 and 2. Now, the wrath of God is going to come upon Israel because Israel was already sinning against God. Not even talking about Eli and his boys. They were still worshiping other gods. They were still being loose with God's word. They were still worshiping things that God despised. And the Philistines, they were the latest folks to harass them at that time. And so they got together, the people of Israel, and thought they were going to go fight the Philistines. And so the Israeli army had gathered to fight the Philistines. And the Philistines killed 4,000 of them. They were so distraught. So they called upon the Lord to defend them. Now, do you think God was interested in listening to them at this time? Y'all calling me. Y'all think I'm soft. Y'all think I'm Eli. I ain't Eli. I don't know why you're coming to me. So they decided they were going to hook up with Hophni and Phinehas. Hey, the Philistines have defeated us. So what we need you to do, you two guys, is to bring the Ark of God. That's our secret weapon. And we're going to take it out there. We're going to scare them Philistines silly. Because they know what the Ark of God can do. They heard all the stories. So they get these two unsaved preachers to take the Ark of God out of God's house and parade it in front of the Philistines. And for a while, the Philistines were scared to death. Oh, man, they didn't got that thing out now. They finally said, well, you know, what are we scared about? We beat them before. We'll whip them again. So they got bold. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, that means that God had finally spoken. And the people, they all knew about it. They knew that Samuel was the one who had the word of God. Now, Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Next verse. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against the Israel. And when they joined the battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. Verse 3. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Before the Philistines. Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hands of our enemies. Anybody know what 1 John 1:9 says? What's it say? One nine. So before we can get God's attention, we need to confess our sins, because he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Had they done that? They still had their dirty drawers on. They hadn't changed not one diaper. They were still filthy. Why has the Lord defeated us before the Philistines? Do you not remember when Joshua and the boys who had not consulted God went up against Ai? And what happened? They got beat. And then Joshua fell down before the Lord, face on the ground. God, why'd you let us get embarrassed like that? God said, get up. There's sin in the camp. Don't come at me like that. I'm a holy God and a just God. You didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't go to the priest to ask what I said about AI. You did it yourselves. And then the next thing, you had somebody who disobeyed me and took the gold and the riches when y'all were in Jericho. Y'all weren't supposed to do that. There's sin in the camp. Don't come at me like that, Joshua. Deal with the sin. They had not dealt with the sin. They instead decided to go get the Ark of the Covenant, that it may save them from the enemies. Verse 4. So they went to Shiloh to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And guess who was taking it? Do you not remember when David had them carry, when they were carrying the ark? and it kind of toppled over, and the dude went to touch it. What happened to him? Now, what do you think is going to happen to these two rascals? These unsaved rascals coming to the rescue with the secret weapon. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of God. Now, this is not a good thing. Verse 10 says, so the Philistines fought, and the Israelites, despite having the ark of God, they were defeated. And every man fled to his tent. The slaughter, the Bible tells us in verse 10, was great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. That's a lot of soldiers. Anybody who served in the military, in battle, who loved their brothers in arms, if they were to hear that 30,000 of their brothers in arms, they'd be crushed. And then verse 11 says, the ark of God was captured. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, guess what? They died. Verse 11 says, the ark of the God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Verse 13 tells us that the word came back. And Eli, he was at the gate, sitting in his chair where he judged people. Sitting in a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Notice that he knew something was up. He knew that the ark of God was not something his two rascal sons had any business touching, had any business being around it. He had heard what God had said, broke from the unnamed prophet, and he heard it from Samuel. He knew that something was cooking. When the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. There was grief in the land, folks. Not only for the loss of their fellow Israelites, but for the ark of God being taken by these uncircumcised Philistines. Verse 14, when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli, verse 15, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Verse 16, then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened to my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there's been a great slaughter amongst the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, those two boys that he put before the Lord, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. He realized that God's word came true that day. God's warning came true that day. That God's declaration against him came true that day. Next verse. Then it happened. I want you to say, then it happened.
Then it happened.
What was the it? Was it the prophecy that he heard from Samuel and from the preacher that came to visit him? That's the it. God's word, it doesn't go void. It accomplishes that which he has given. God's word does not go void. Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God. that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. But why did he die? For the man was old and what? How did he get heavy? Eating all that T-bone steak. This lean, supposed to be preacher, was heavy because he ate the fat. What did God say in Leviticus 7 about that fat? Don't you? No. Don't do it. You cut off. He was cut off. And then his daughter-in-law, she had her son's baby that day. She died in grief for her husband and for the ark of God. And she named his son Ichabod. She named his son Ichabod, saying that the glory has departed from Israel because the capture of the ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband. She said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. So we come in conclusion today from this message. Israel was witness to God's uncompromising stance. He wants his creation to worship him in his way. From the pulpit to the pew. Perhaps we should take this tale of four preachers as a warning to all who serve in his church. Are we going to be like Samuel, who find themselves in the presence of God? Are we going to be like Hophni and Phinehas, or their father Eli? Do we deal with the sacraments of God, like today we will have communion, lightly? Or do we take the warning given in Scripture that we can't come like that? We can't come with evil thoughts against someone in our hearts. We can't come having unconfessed sin. We can't come to God like that. Have we served Christ in every person over whom we have the charge over, those involved in our ministry, those that we serve? Have we devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to true fellowship, to the breaking of bread, prayers? Or has God's church today, and there are many churches that are meeting today, have we become fat from the comfort of finances and the praises of men? Have we become lax in our duties or become self-serving in our leadership positions? Have we grown fat from the toil and the work that was done by people generations before us? Do we carry the name New Berean Baptist Church with pride, but we don't act like them sometimes because we don't get in the Word to study it, to see if what the preacher said is true or not? Do we sleep on God? Let us serve God in such a way that when we serve, from the pulpit to the pew, those at the door, deacons, trustees, teachers, whatever area of ministry that the Church of God, including New Berean, that we do right before God, before his people, and before the world who is watching everything that we do. This was a tale of four preachers. Let's make sure we don't find ourselves being characters in the next episode. Let us pray. Lord, we thank